This week on Barbell Shrugged, we hang out with Michelle Kenny and Mike McGoldrick, CrossFit Games athletes. We talk about eating paleo, should you do it or not, and steroids, should you do it or not.
Hey, this is Rich Froning. You're listening to Barbell Shrugged. For the video version, go to barbellshrugged.com.
Why are you calling that?
Apparently that's what he eats. It's breakfast.
Welcome to Barbell Shrugged. Mike Bledsoe here with Doug Larson, Chris Moore. And we also have Mike McGoldrick and Michelle Kenny.
We aren't worthy.
Both CrossFit Games competitors that happen to live here in town. And they're just going to join us for the conversation today. We're going to try to keep it casual, laid back, coffee driven. You know how it goes.
You ever been certain that your genetics were the worst in any pool?
I feel like I have the worst genetics in this room.
I don't know. Sure. We're fighting from the bottom, I think.
Make sure to go to barbellshrug.com, sign for the newsletter, and we can notify you of any time we put up new technique wads or Barbell Shrugged episodes, or if we'll ever do barbell, what's it called? The daily BS again.
Kind of got rid of that for a while.
Yeah. We'll see. Maybe that'll come back.
The quarterly BS.
You ran out, out of BS. You cleared it all
Trust
up.
Trust me, we'll never run out of BS. That's for sure.
The BS digest once a quarter.
But one of the things we want to talk about today was how fit is fit enough? You know, you two are probably the last two people on earth we should ask about like the average,
maybe not
about the average person, because I think we want to talk about like the average person, like, if I have a regular 9-to-5 job, like, how much time should I really focus on this? Well, what's that work-life balance maybe?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a broad answer.
You're asking a guy with the worst work-life balance in the history of the world. Well, your job
isn't that really up to the individual, how much they actually feel like they need to be training?
Yeah.
Like, how is he going to know?
Beats me, man. That's what I was wondering. This was all suggested by CTP. This is all we should talk about.
My balance changes every like 2 months because each week I get more training and more.
How high is your volume right now?
6 days on.
How many times a day are you training?
Twice.
Twice a day, 6 days a week.
Yeah.
What about you, Michelle?
5 days a week. 3 of those days are twice.
Are you worried that maybe you're not doing as much as McGoldrick and you might fall behind?
I have that doubt sometimes, but I keep I gotta keep up with him. I've been seeing my numbers progress very nicely, so I think I'm doing what I need to be
nice
doing.
Deadlifts, man. A deadlift.
That's my
legit
gig, though.
Yeah, that was a good looking stroke, if I must say.
Is he hitting on you?
Oh man, the way she pulls heavy loads, bro. Yeah. It really does it.
I don't know. I do this little shake before the deadlift that I didn't realize, and people were commenting on it.
Deadliftshake.com.
No, it's a little shimmy or something.
Shimmy?
I didn't even realize it.
What's the difference between a shake and a shimmy?
A shimmy is sexier for sure.
All right.
I think shaking shake is erratic.
And if it's sexier, that was it.
Yeah, the shake, I think, is a bigger thing and slower, whereas the shimmy is quicker and smaller.
All
right. Kind of like the difference between a thruster and a jerk.
It sounds like a Southern blues game. Okay, but is there anybody?
Welcome back to the Daily BS.
Do you have anybody currently, Michelle? Do you have anybody currently scribbled on your wall? What is X doing right now?
No, no way.
No, that's so boring.
It is boring.
Can you just make up something?
What's that?
You're not chasing anybody specifically?
Just those top three spots at regionals. So I don't know who that's going to be.
Who was it last year? You and who other?
Jennifer Smith and Lindy Wall. And but Julie Fouché's back in the mix.
Oh, that's
and
right.
Heather Welsh on the previous episode.
That's right.
She's back in the mix.
There's a rough competition.
And there's a few up and comers that it's not gonna be easy. So.
Always.
Yeah.
Michelle, you know what I would do for you? I'd answer that question like, what am I chasing? I'm not chasing anything. I'm just running from the ghost of what I could become. There you go. What the fuck are you talking about?
What is the ghost of what I could become doing?
I think I saw a stat today. It came out. There's like 70,000 people signed up already. Mm. And that was more than 2011 competitors.
Like, how many were there last year? Like 200,000?
No, sorry, 2012.
120, 120.
So there's already more people signed up than people that competed 2 years ago.
Damn. And it's still a month away.
Yeah. And there will still you know, a lot of people will sign up.
Last minute.
I think you can sign up even once the open starts. You can sign up like the day before the first workout's due or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you'll see a lot more people.
We talk about this with a lot of games competitors. We talk about nutrition. And a lot of times people just go, they get the shoulder shrug and be like, oh, I eat pizza and ice cream and whatever I want, Fruity Pebbles. But, you know, I think a lot of people are interested. I think a lot of people get caught up in the whole paleo thing. And there's... neither one of you guys probably are hardcore paleo eaters. Correct, yeah.
Hardcore
what paleo eaters. Well, you know, a lot of people, they go paleo, they get super low carb, and they can't understand, like, when they start training 5 days a week, hard CrossFit, why they may not be getting results after a little bit of time. And you go, hey, add some carbs.
When you say that to people, when they go, you're right, coach, I don't feel good, but you know what I am? I am fucking hardcore. you have nothing else to say to them right then.
Yeah,
no sweet potatoes can be pushed through.
That's when I just walk away.
Yeah.
Mm. But
flick a cigarette calmly into the chest.
Michelle, how much are you eating? Like, and how much of that's like paleo-ish? And are you eating bread?
I really hate to assign percentages, but I don't know. I mean,
you want us to walk us through a typical day then? Is that easier?
A typical day? Sure.
People love this kind of shit.
All right. So yesterday, for instance, I had a perfect food bar and coffee for breakfast pre-workout. And then after workout, had protein shake and some carbs like baby food.
What are these times, by the way? What time is breakfast in the
I trained at 8, so I ate at 7 pretty much right before I trained. And then... post-workout was about 10 or so. And then
baby food as in like mashed sweet potatoes?
Pureed sweet potatoes and like an apple mix. Gerber. Or
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
just to get some carbs. And then lunch was a sandwich with double turkey and avocado and chips.
Double turkey.
Yes. I need my protein.
Give me this.
A sandwich.
Is that from
Were you eating fresh?
No, it's from Bogey's Deli. It's the best sandwich. It's the second best sandwich in the world.
What's the first best sandwich in the
it's
world?
It's in Kauai at some restaurant.
Spam?
It's not Spam.
Spam and eggs and shit and sushi.
It's amazing. I don't even know what it was.
Spam and eggs and sushi.
It was so crazy. I can't even fucking remember what it was.
It's a combination.
Yeah. It's just a dopamine rush, right? And you put your mouth on it.
Yeah. Okay. Pretty much. So I had that for lunch and then...
You ate gluten at lunch?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Man, it was great bread. It's awesome. I eat 2 sandwiches a week. That's my thing.
Oh, cool.
And it keeps mass on.
Are you worried about getting fat?
the inner girl in me sometimes, like, I got on the scale, I was 145 this weekend. I was like...
I love women. God knows I love all you women, but you're crazy as shit when it comes to body weight. You gotta just lay that on the table.
Yeah.
Michelle King's going, oh, I'm getting fat. Well, like, I can see and label every muscle you got just by looking at you. You're not fat. And you're never gonna be fat probably.
And I know that. And that's in the whole time. Like since games ended, I was, you know, trying to put mass on, and now that it's fucking happening, I'm like, oh.
But I know I'm getting strong as fuck, but this scale's going.
I tell her to shut up.
But let that be reassurance to the ladies. Like, one of the fittest people alive is standing next to me going, I feel self-conscious about my weight. Like, it's not it's not just you who are the self-conscious one.
Right.
This is something you're all sharing, apparently.
Yeah, it's weird. It was like, it was kind of like the holy crap. But, I mean, my strength numbers are going up, and that's why. So,
Some days gravity is higher.
I feel like
check the weather.
Yeah. I will.
That's why you have a barometer in your garage, right?
Sorry, so you had lunch. You had turkey sandwich at lunch. What about the rest of the day?
For dinner, I had chicken and mixed vegetables and some guacamole and more chips. So, it was a chip day. I don't really eat that many chips.
Crunchy texture.
Yeah, that's what everybody says. And until they start writing it down, I'm like, fuck, I'm eating chips every day.
It's a chip day.
Twice
and so
a day.
Has every day for the last 10 years of my fucking life. That's what most people
do. I do have 2 beers at dinner too. So, and that is normal.
So 2 things. Carbs post-workout with a protein shake is what I heard. And then also you're eating to keep mass on.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that's a hard thing to do.
It seemed to be, and now it seems to be pretty smooth. I eat grains like rice and bread and
so
fun stuff
to
like
put
that.
Mass on, you just kind of add it in those things that probably are typical no-nos, especially if you're trying to follow like a paleo diet.
Right. And I don't think this is the way to eat for somebody just after general fitness. So I know we started the show off like that, like just your typical people, but like I'm purposely, like we said, we were training a lot and I'm trying to get stronger, trying to put mass on. These are my goals and this is why I'm eating the way that I am. If I was just training, you know, 5 hours a week, I would definitely be cleaner with my diet.
So. Yeah. And I wanted to bring that up just because I get a lot of questions from guys, especially who are like, hey, I want to get bigger and stronger.
Yeah.
And then you start giving them advice like, you know, maybe you should throw some rice into your diet or throw in some more potatoes. Or, you know, they're like,
yeah, exactly.
You mean white potatoes? I'm like, yeah, just
Yeah,
any potatoes you want. Why do they have to be sweet potatoes? So then, like, you know, so I get these questions and they're like, well, that's not paleo. I'm like, it doesn't have to be. Like, you're trying to get bigger and stronger. The people that should be eating paleo are people who are like sick and dying. Like, if you're pre-diabetic, you should probably eat paleo and you should probably try to, you know, get that off. But like, if you're, you know, 30 years old and weigh 145 pounds and you want to get bigger and stronger, you should probably pick up the rice bowl.
I think so.
Yeah.
I'm no expert, though. Delicious.
It is delicious.
Man, the best pre-workout meal you could ever have, like the night of, sushi, plenty of rice, lots of soy, get a good bloat, 2 pints of beer per Michelle's suggestion. The next morning, you will fucking squat a PR, man, I guarantee
it. That's the first time I've ever heard anyone go, good bloat. Like most people don't refer to bloat as a good thing.
I can't wait to be bloated.
Anybody who's felt the good type of bloat and has felt strong as shit the night after or the day
sure
after.
I'm pretty sure that's what happened on Monday.
I'm giving you top secret tips here from the powerlifting world. This is the shit you need to pay attention
blow,
to.
Blow is important for a big squat. Blow no too. Doubt about that.
Not blow, not cocaine. Blow. Although that probably would be too. Good. Wow, I'm really ready, man. I'm ready. I'm fucking ready. Good bloat.
No, I did. I drank a gallon of milk, a gallon of raw goat milk.
Blow tea.
Every day for 11 days. So I did a gallon a day for 11 days straight. That's as long as I could hang in there. And the only reason I didn't hang in longer is because I actually had to get some work done because my life turned into training and consuming milk and food and just like being miserable. But it worked. 11 pounds in 11 days. I did gain 1 pound every day for 11 days and my squat went up.
That's
half
extreme.
Of it was inflamed tissue.
Yeah.
How was your digestive tract? How was your stomach?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I don't know.
Wrecked? Were you bloated?
Oh, I just went to sleep and my wife was trying to have sex with me. She'd be like, Hey, baby. I'm like, get the fuck out of my head. She's like, I hate him when he gains weight. He never wants to have sex.
It's you're so dedicated to training.
I'm in your digestive tract, but if you
hashtag hardcore.
Yeah, I mean, like, I would get that bloat going on, but my squat went up like 30 pounds in 2 weeks.
I hope it did. Everything else went downhill.
At the sacrifice of my love life, that's squat right. went up 30 pounds.
Mike, you should know better than anybody the benefit of bloat. You used to be a bloated dude.
I was.
With your hockey playing ass.
Yeah.
And that was
all the beer I drank in college, though.
Yeah. But you were strong, probably.
Beer bloat.
Puffy. Speaking of bloating, this is another disgusting story along the lines of his sex life. I'm listening. Last Saturday, all I wanted was just pizza and ice cream. And like, I've been waiting all week for it. And I mean, I don't eat like super strict all week long, but I wanted to have like a blowout on Saturday.
Wait, you have like, you eat bread, but it's gluten free bread.
Yeah, I eat gluten free bread.
You kind of like, you go high carb, but you try to keep it pretty clean.
Oh, yeah, super high carb, but yeah, as clean as I can keep it. Just, it varies, but Saturday night, I ate 3 pints of coconut milk ice cream.
Oh,
shit, man.
Dude. Ow.
Yeah.
Have you ever not slept because you have gas so bad?
It kept me up
all night. It totally backfired.
A lot of sugar alcohol, man.
Probably kept Brandy up all night, too.
Oh, poor Brandy.
It was like a lot of artificial sweeteners and shit.
My stomach was so wrecked. Like the next morning, I was like usually your guy, you fart, you laugh. It's funny. By the end of it, I was like, I don't want to fart anymore. I'm so tired of it.
Oh,
make it stop.
You got tired of farting. That's amazing.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. It was that bad. Wow.
Yeah. That was after all that Thai food we ate?
Yeah, we went and I bought a lot of ice cream.
Thai food and three food pints.
And I ate all 3 pints watching Jurassic Park.
Oh, my God.
That's just too much ice cream.
I don't know under what conditions I can do that.
And some cookies were in there too.
That's
like
impressive.
I was like scooping it with cookies.
Oh,
that's
Jesus,
insane.
Man.
I was tired.
Two pints is a lot.
Calories.
Man. 2 pints is too much.
It killed me. Never again.
I'm with you on the Coke. There's no like good.
What was it,
thing,
Doug? Just
no good substitute for like ice cream. Like no matter what, there's like regular ice cream makes me stuffy.
Yeah.
But then like I get coconut ice cream and I can't stop farting.
Doesn't matter what kind of, it's too much of anything. Like 3 pints of anything is gonna wreck you.
You do that every week, you blow it out on a Saturday night?
Not that bad.
No.
But yeah, I mean, anytime I really feel like I need to like reset, you know, like I just like, oh man. I took a lot from Asprey's talk last weekend at Wadapalooza.
It was brilliant.
When he talks, you know, like he wasn't in line with a lot of the training and stuff, more about health and longevity. Which was great, but what I did take away from
which are two totally different things.
Yeah, absolutely. That's
training, you guys would
being
agree,
a games
right?
competitor and being, and training to be, you know, for health and longevity.
completely different.
Disparate ideas.
But what I did take away from him was like, you got to listen to your body and like the signs of like, look, man, sometimes you just need like the pizza and some ice cream. Like if it doesn't taste good, stop eating it. You know, but you're like, oh, but it's got no, you know, it's paleo and it's good for me. But if you're not enjoying eating it, like the neurological response, you know, you're not getting what you need out of it.
When you're training yourself,
like you're that. Miserable yeah. chewing that food. But like
practicing the art of being
good,
happy,
even if it's kind of bad for you, but if it tastes good, it's making you happy. It's probably way more beneficial.
Would that be why I eat popcorn like every other night?
If you like it, it makes you happy. Sure, man.
You get little spot welded popcorn things on the back of your teeth. I fucking hate that. Like they get stuck to all of your molars.
Huh.
Michelle, do you do that?
Not your ravenous teeth.
I don't. No, I never feel the need to because I don't really eat that clean throughout the week. I mean, like I don't feel like I'm restricting myself in any way, but I'll have that pizza craving and then go have pizza. But then I feel like that's still not.
What's your favorite pizza
place? You'll eat a normal amount though.
Yeah,
slice
I won't.
Two and then you're good.
I feel so bad when I just go to town on something. So even after like a competition where I'm like, oh, I'm gonna just crush a whole pizza and then pitcher of beer, I usually like halfway in and I'm like, I'm done.
I'm fat.
I'm done.
Yeah, I agree. So I try to be the same way. Like even for competitions, like I don't want to feel like I cut out all this food. Yeah. And got so ready for the comp that by the end of it you're like, oh, I'm just gonna eat whatever I want.
Yeah.
Like I want to be done with the competition and just be normal again. Like I don't like that feeling of
be normal again
of building up and cutting out all the food and caloric depths, all that stuff. It doesn't work for me very well.
For a short time, I just sort of feel like being like all of you people, you know, just normal for just a little while.
What supplements do you guys take? You don't have to like go by name brand.
I mean, what was
that? Michelle can, but McGoldrick can't, but Michelle can.
Yes. Cover that up.
He doesn't know what he's doing.
He has no idea.
I'm outnumbered right now.
So do you take like creatine and beta alanine and whey protein? Kind of like what are your favorite supplements that you think are the most useful, Michelle?
Well, I take Force pre workout usually, so that's got the creatine and beta alanine in it.
A little caffeine.
A little caffeine, but I have
a little bit dash of protein to settle the blood.
Yeah. So, and that's with coffee. So,
oh shit.
That'd be so great.
Whoa. I was like, whoa. You mix it.
I might get to that point. And then I take more muscle, like Progenics, more muscle after workout, and then do Pure Pharma's fish oil, magnesium, and vitamin D. And that's pretty much what I stick to.
What's the stupidest supplement you've ever taken? You're like, what the fuck
is this? D-aspartic acid.
We hope, like, I'm waiting for my balls to get bigger. I'm waiting for my balls to get bigger.
Blood cell was just like, this stuff will make you horny. Sounds cool.
Did you end up disappointed, man? You end up like going, oh,
yeah,
I'm not horny.
It didn't do anything to me. It just.
You didn't take it long enough and you didn't double the dosage like I did.
You didn't like sprinkle it on your eyeballs. Rub it on your gums.
It never did anything for me.
What are you taking, Michael?
I take pre-workout, I take amino acids.
That sounds fancy.
Nothing fancy about it. Pretty basic stuff.
Fancy acids.
Just flavored BCAAs?
Yeah, flavored BCAAs. Got a little bit of sugar in it.
You can't, if you take unflavored BCAAs.
They're awful.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta do pills.
Like I feel like you're eating like melted plastic.
Yeah, you gotta do pills. They taste really bad. But the
if
ones,
you
I,
eat
the
crack
ones I take.
Rocks, that's what it would taste
the ones
like.
I taste are delicious. No, I really do like them. They're for real. I'm not.
It's gonna be blurred.
It, but they're really good. Yeah, and then.
We're just joking around.
Say whatever I want, right?
The point that
it's
a joke, everybody. We're making jokes. We're all copacetic.
Chill out.
Yeah. No. Chill out. People we can't hear.
Post workout, just whey protein and dextrose sugar, and then creatine, beta alanine, some L-glutamine, and then nighttime fish oil, L-glutamine before bed, and ibuprofen as much as I need it.
Oh man.
How much of each one of those things are you taking?
Before bed?
For your workout shake and before
man,
bed.
I do 5 grams of creatine, beta alanine, and L-glutamine in the post workout. Five each.
Okay.
And then before bed I do 5 grams of L-glutamine as well. Again.
What about for the protein and the dextrose?
It depends. If it's like a lot of lifting and a lot of CrossFit workouts and stuff, just a can't say strength session, can't say conditioning, but if it's like both, man, like 100 grams of carbs, like 100 grams of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So like two scoops of that, two or three scoops of that dextrose.
Mm-hmm.
And then protein, probably like 60 grams.
Yeah.
But if it's like, mainly a strength session, not moving a whole lot, just lifting some, more protein, less carbs.
So between like 30% and 50% of your body weight in grams. If you're a 200-pound dude, 50%.
Yeah.
100
yeah.
grams, like you said.
Yeah.
So something in that range. We get questions all the time about stuff like that. Like how many grams per pound of body weight should I have of this certain thing in my workout drink or grams of protein throughout the day?
Yeah, that's really good to follow, but like it depends on the session. But like every morning I get up and I have something aerobic. Like I just row a lot. I'm not going to take as much protein as you just said percentage-wise. I'm just going to do a bunch of sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, what I find is a lot of people, they think, oh, post-workout shake,
depends the session.
Mainly protein. And for most people, if you're a weightlifter, maybe a 1-1 ratio would be good. You know, 30 grams of protein, 30 grams of sugar. But, you know, most people that are doing CrossFit who are training hard, you know, and I suggest they take double, you know, a 2-1 ratio of carbs to protein. It's like,
minds
are blown.
Do you change the ratios or anything? You just do recovery?
I don't do the math. But I do more carbs when it's more.
Yeah.
It's a longer session or more, you know, conditioning oriented.
Yeah, I do think it's good to do the math in the beginning and maybe start with those ratios, and then you'll get to know your body over time.
You're gonna have to adjust it for how you feel and how you're performing, right?
It's just there's
no formula for you.
Like there's a lot of times where, you know, I my training is not highly varied now. Back when it was highly varied, it's like almost like after
code word for you're broken.
that code for broken, that's for sure. Yeah, back when I was doing a lot of CrossFit and some days were heavy days and some days were high volume conditioning days, it's almost like how I felt. Like I'm looking at the dextrose, I'm like, today's a 2-scooper.
Oh, yeah. You know,
today's a 1-scooper.
Not every aerobic session I do is the same. Even if they're the same time duration each session, some mornings I just don't feel like I need a lot of sugar. Like I feel good and I'm like, I'm not going to put as much this time.
Yeah. So. But that only comes after, that comes after like years of measuring everything. Yeah. You measure everything for a while. You figure out how it makes you feel, and then you can adjust from there and get more intuitive.
It's
not
even something you probably really even think about. You just kind of go, oh, I don't think I should have as much. It's a natural decision.
I think it comes, it builds more intuition over time.
That being said, most people aren't going to need 100 grams of sugar post-workout. You're doing at least a dozen sessions per week, and they're not short sessions.
Yeah.
And you're 200-ish pounds lean, and you fucking jerk like 400 pounds.
Yeah, the ones I'm talking about where I add like 100 plus grams, I mean, those are like three and a half hour sessions where
it's a lot of work.
What?
Yeah, like I get
you work out for 3.5 hours in a day?
Yeah.
Bro.
Ooh.
Bro.
No. You think you're overtraining?
Well, if he wasn't eating all that sugar and taking naps all day, he would be.
I'm not overtraining. I might be overtraining, but I'm definitely recovering, right?
So. You do take naps throughout the day. Mm-hmm. You got a little cot set up in your office. In your house.
Short
he doesn't even leave his office to take a nap. He just like,
what's going on in the office?
I have a cot in my office.
It's
an art,
downstairs.
I swear. People think I'm full of
shit.
Yeah,
but George Costanza
I can
desk.
Lay down and fall asleep in 5 minutes and wake up and be like, what's next?
Feel refreshed.
And everyone that says, I can't do that. It makes me tired or I can't fall asleep. That's what I'm, it doesn't happen right away. You got to like learn how to do it. Because what's the first thing that happens when you lay down and you want to go to sleep like right then? You sit there and you think, I'm not going to fall asleep. I'm not going to fall asleep.
You do.
Fall asleep. No, I fall asleep.
It's about confidence.
Yes.
Yeah, you'll be confident in your ability to nap.
Nap confidence.
It's a subtle art.
All right, let's take a break real quick. When we come back, we'll figure out what it is that Mike does right before bed that helps him sleep so well.
Oh, he's smiling.
Could be anything.
That was a good
one, and we're back.
And we're back. McGoldrick and Michelle Kenney did not take off, so they're still here with Doug Larson, Chris Moore, and myself.
We weren't bored.
No.
Only one of us was bored on the break.
Doug,
I'm gonna say who. Doug bores easily.
Doug listening us ramble our mouths off during the break.
We did learn about webbed toes, though. That's
true. 1 in 2,500 people are born with webbed toes. But 2 of them are
in
this
room.
It's up to you to decide who.
You'll have to figure it out.
Contest.
Whoever gets it right will get a free
something.
Virtual hug from Chris.
You should give something away free. It's a great idea.
I give good virtual hugs, man.
What 2 people in this room have webbed toes?
Yeah, barbell shrug gear or something.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of supplements, what steroid
are you taking right now?
What type of steroids are you on right now, both of you?
No steroids.
Not counting the steroid of life.
Froze.
I've brought that up
to
athletes before. We started talking about steroids, not on the show, but like, and that's what I'm waiting for him to do. Is like,
give you the glass.
Just like freak out on me.
But that's been a new. That's been a hot topic lately, right?
It has been.
It has.
I find myself. I was at Wodapalooza and talking to a lot of people there. And then the very next weekend, I was hanging out at the fittest games. And then it seemed like a lot of the coaches I was talking to and some of the athletes is just it's becoming a much more common topic. You know, we're talking. You know, someone always brings it up. Sometimes it's me, but like sometimes you hear. I mean, you're just starting to hear of some athletes that are using drugs. And then now, and then it starts you wondering how many people are on drugs, and then, who has like a history of drugs? You know, you've got some of these guys that are just very, very, very muscular,
hugified.
Yeah, and even if they're not on now, did they have like a year? You know, years before where they were a lot. And is that what do you guys think about that?
Man, I think the community right now is like always going to be blaming or have a shitload of speculation. It's like, well, these guys are doing, you know, all this volume and incredible stuff, like they've got to be using. All right, well then the drug tests come out. Oh, well, you know, like some of them probably got caught, but you know, like HQ's not letting people know about it. You know, it's like one thing after another.
That's what happens in baseball and like, shit. You know, same thing.
I'm sick of all the speculation. There's all these people who like, well, I mean, I'm not gonna name names. No, fucking man up, name names. If you know. You know, all these people seem to have this insider information that they're not telling anyone about.
They're like, just trying to be right.
Yeah, they're trying to be right, and that's bugging me.
And be the guy who exposed the hidden danger.
Personally, I don't know, you know, if people are using or not. Like, I don't know. I see things that are done, and I'm like, well, I mean, all the signs would point to it. But you got to remember, like, this is a sport of finding the fittest people in the world. Like, we're not going to be normal-looking people. We're all going to look jacked. We're all going to do incredible things. Like, you know, they found a system to narrow down the fittest people in the world. They're not going to be average Joes. You know, taking the top 10 and saying, well, look at these top 10. They've got to be using. Take away those top 10. The next top 10 are going to be blamed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
I was waiting for you to rip your shirt off when he said being jacked.
Well, I didn't mean me personally.
Well, you're pretty jacked, bro. I'd give you that nod. Jack, you're a jacked dude.
Thank you, Chris.
especially now you're doing the most important bench press exercise. You added that to your regimen.
Balance.
Fill out those shoulders you got.
Thank you.
Why don't you fill out your shoulders?
How do you feel about it, Michelle?
It gets irritating when, I mean, even on some on the women's side, you got, you know, these, I guess it's more like masculine looking women, mm-hmm. and you either get pointed like, oh, they're on something or they're a dude. And that's a little irritating, but I do think
it's offensive.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty offensive. But at the same time, just like what you said, we're training, we're lifting really heavy weights and that's only increasing. We're only getting fitter. I'm not naive enough to think that everybody's clean. And I'm glad the standards are being changed and actually they're doing random tests. Although that's not a perfect system, but you know, it's at least a step in the right direction. But yeah, for sure. But in every sport it's there. So to say CrossFit's clean of it is naive, I believe. But I don't want to say all the top 10 men are on something. It discredits their hard work. And that's a little irritating. I definitely agree with that.
Because as sure as there's somebody who is probably getting through.
Sure.
There is a guy who's huge and he's worked every day for the last 20 years of his mm-hmm. life and given everything he's got to it. And that's probably also a very important thing that people sort of cast out. It's like, oh, you can't be natural.
Yeah. Well, if somebody can't do it themselves or isn't willing to put in the time and the effort. I mean, you just heard him talk about his training week and this is early in the season. I mean, he's putting in a ton of time that not many people can do and or are willing to do, and so that's why he's where he is right now. And it's not something synthetic and it's not cheating, but the naysayers that aren't willing to go there just assume that this is something that's impossible to achieve on your own.
I think if you know a guy like Mike, you see that steroids are without a doubt like a important thing that can help some people break through from one level of not being right where they need to be to definitely being the higher. That's why people do them.
Sure.
But it's stupid to think that's the only thing that is different about some people who are successful. Mm-hmm. That is that's the only thing that could be possibly making them that different. No, a guy like Mike is the most dedicated dude I've ever seen in my life.
You could threaten him
with death during a WOD and he'll just look at you coldly right now like fucking Clint Eastwood. It's like, bring it.
Not just me. There's hundreds of people doing it. I mean,
there's a lot of people. A guy like Rich does that. All these guys, you meet him and you see other things.
Combined with
on or off.
Incredible genetics. I'm with Michelle. I'm not naive to say there's people that aren't using in the sport. But yeah, I mean, you're in the sport of hard work and blessed genetics. Like, you know, you're going to see freak shows. Yeah. They're not all going to be normal to fit in your scope of a normal person that doesn't look like they're using steroids.
Yeah, I think some people use that as an excuse. They see, you know, they see people doing really great things and they're like, well, I could do that if I was using steroids. But sure. So like they like kind of go, oh, it must be the drugs or something like that. And yeah, you know, the point I was just trying to make is like there's, you know, there's for people to think there's no drugs in the sport. Yeah, that is very naive. And there's definitely some drug use. And until they start like, I guess, randomly drug testing everybody, you know, and you have to like submit yourself, you know, kind of like with the Olympic, with Olympic weightlifting, with USAW, like for you to be eligible to be a competitor for like world team or whatever, you have to submit yourself to those tests ahead of time. And so there's still, you know, CrossFit's still just getting like what the top 10 or you didn't get the letter. Michelle,
I didn't get the letter.
Even though you were I'm top
not
eight.
Beef, yeah. Not beefcake enough.
Will now, by the way.
Now you will.
She just experienced some tremendous mass gain.
Yeah.
Sandwiches.
Mm-hmm. Sandwiches.
Sandwiches.
Code name sandwiches.
Sorry, I'm
vitamin
late.
S.
But I remember like last year they were saying, hey, we're going to drug test at regionals. We've got the problem solved. And then I was like, well, that just means that you can't use drugs 3 out of 9, you know, 3 out of 12 months of the year.
Yeah.
The other 9 months of the year, it's a free for all. So I do think it's naive for people to think that it's 100% clean as well.
Yeah,
so
CrossFitters really aren't that much more jacked than athletes in other sports. It's just so much easier to see because CrossFitters love to train with their shirts on.
Yeah, you've got like this article I read recently, and a lot of it was a little over my head with all the data and figures, but it had like a picture of Jason Kalipa, and it was like the Instagram photo that everyone's seen.
They're huge.
They're out by the pool, and I'm like, he looks jacked. And I'm like, well, you know, we're not super tall. These guys aren't. These guys aren't all over 6'2". They're, you know, 5'8" to, you know, 5'10".
Let's
the average
not
height.
Rule out the effect of the Instagram filter.
And Instagram filtering. I know, like
there's a definition button
the
on
picture,
there. That makes
the picture
you,
of you and the girls walking.
Oh yeah,
well,
it makes
jacked.
You jacked. There's a jacked. There's a jacked button.
I mean, I'm sure you saw that. And you were like,
is that me?
You were like, damn. There's a picture. There's a picture of me sprinting.
Would you
at
do
the
me?
Games
I do
on the zigzag sprint.
Yeah.
When I was thumbing through an article and saw the picture, I didn't even know it was me.
Yeah.
And I realized, I was like, those are my, that's me.
Oh, dude,
like,
I swear, huge.
I swear, I had no idea. Like, so basing it off aesthetics and how you look, it's so stupid because now, like, everything is filtered. It's just, I got tired of that argument, too.
Like, if you saw a bunch of NFL players playing a game with no shirt on,
Jesus,
you'd be like,
monsters.
Holy shit, these guys are legit.
Yeah.
Which they totally are.
Sure, absolutely.
Somebody lost steroids in that sport, too.
That's the same in college now. It's the same in high school. You go to, like, a Texas high school and just look at these kids who eat nothing but, like, fucking goldfish crackers in a day. They're just genetically not like you. They play football in Texas. They're the filtered perfect percent.
And
the good point about sport is like people will cast fingers at something like CrossFit. Like, oh, these guys, these fucking jerks. Look at they're cheating. Of course they are. Look, they're all, they think they're fancy with the ESPN funds and this, that, and the other. Every sport from the history of man to now has been corrupted by something to give somebody an edge. Like people talk shit about baseball because, well, in the 90s, everybody got on steroids. Like,
and you creatine. Think, don't
you
forget
think
creatine.
That, yeah, creatine. And,
huge generalization.
Doug, what was the androstenedione was the best.
Andrew.
The shit that never worked that Mark had.
Mark
in his,
McGuire was doing the home run records.
So intense. But like people think all of a sudden steroids corrupted their sport. And they forget. I learned this from Greg Proops, actually. He said, do you remember before steroids that every fucking baseball player from the history of time was on dope of any kind of coke, amphetamines, anything to swing bat? Fucking from the 60s on, anything to swing a bat better or to be more on, people have been doing it. So it's not just now. It's been an eternal problem. Oh, we got a buzz?
Yeah, I'm buzzing pretty bad.
I'm not at all.
It's just mine.
Yep.
I mean, you can keep going. It's fine. I'm here. Yeah.
We're
all good. Yeah, man. Solid.
He's like, no, it's still buzzing. Now, but on the flip side, you know, people look at the physiques and go, oh, they got to be on stuff. But if you look at some MMA fighters, and there's been guys that have been busted, and you look at them, you're like, they're on shit.
Yeah.
Like, no way. But what they're using it for, they're using it for recovery.
Sure.
Now, they're not doing it to be a bodybuilder. They're not doing it to try to get as big as possible. So if people were to get popped, they might be surprised that some of the guys that were getting popped, they may not, their physique may not be. That's not exactly a telltale sign.
That's why most baseball players take it. Not because they want to get jacked and hit home runs, just because they have to play a game every day.
If I were to use it, I would do it because I want to heal faster.
Right.
Like,
well, especially pitching, right, Doug? I mean, that's hugely hard to recover from.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, the starters go every 5 days no matter what. And so those guys, like, they don't have the option to rest a little bit extra. They're on that very cycle. Set scheduled routine. So they actually use more steroids, people speculate, than like the people that are trying to hit the home runs, for example. Yeah. The pitchers are probably the worst, but they are also half the league.
And if you think my arm is hurting, and it's also the thing that makes me $1 million a year, you're going to fucking take whatever you're going to take to make your arm just feel okay.
Yeah.
You're not looking for a superhuman edge because you already had superhuman abilities, but you can throw a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. The drug won't, like what did Barry Bonds just say, you can't learn how to swing via drugs with a fucking 100-mile-an-hour baseball. You got to be able to do that or you can't.
You still got to hit the ball. That's right.
Yeah. I'd be willing to bet anyone who's been the sport for a while and they start using drugs, it's probably not to win. It's just to keep competing. You know, just to stay in the game, especially someone's been competing for years and years and years.
That's why stimulants and amphetamines are more prevalent in baseball than steroids, because people are just tired. They're looking for something to keep them awake and keep them motivated. Hmm. And then when that starts failing and it's not working as well as it used to, and they're not getting muscular or like physical recovery, they're just like getting that stimulus from the amphetamines, which is going to get them excited. What? You look confused.
No, you're good.
That a buzz again?
I'm hearing something funny. Don't worry about it.
It's your consciousness. So
a stimulant's gonna raise your energy and raise your motivation kind of as a byproduct there, but it's not actually going to give you like muscular recovery. And so that's why they switch over to steroids, because at some point they need to have actual physical recovery because they're not able to keep up if they're playing a game every single day.
They just burn out, and that's the only way to keep up.
Yeah. They lift weights, then they go to practice, then they do like batting practice and shag fly balls, and then they play a game. It's like all day long, every single day. They get a Monday off like every 3 weeks.
I mean, I get fucking really tired of people just talking shit about these athletes all the time. No one takes 2 seconds to go, we've talked enough shit about the cheaters in our society. How about we understand why they're being driven to such extents? Like, why is it they feel like they must take those things? Why? Because all the pressure in the world and all the eyes of the world are on them. They're trying to survive the situation long enough to be able to walk away from it in one piece. You know, it's kind of a dick thing to always think it's just these damn dirty cheaters. No, like Doug said, they're surviving the sport.
Lucas Parker, CrossFit Games athlete, for those who don't know who he is.
He's the most manly looking CrossFit
he's an awesome guy.
Beard.
He's so much fun to be around. He wrote a really cool like Facebook article, I guess I'd say. Put it on Facebook, it's pretty long, but talks about the use in the sport and obviously why he thought it was a bad idea. Now, I know there's always the flip side to it. Like, look, once there's money involved, like all the fun and games kind of go away. People don't really care anymore. They just want the money and they'll do whatever it takes. But his point was like, you know, we start using drugs so early in the sport now when we're still seeing gains without it. We're going to start masking bad training programs. We're not going to learn anything.
Yeah.
You know, like,
that's definitely true.
Cause you start taking drugs and you're going to see, everything works. So like, you don't know, we're not learning anything when it comes to training programs. Mm. I thought that was a really good point from him.
We actually start hurting people too. Cause then what works for you, this happens in other strength sports where you do something that works for you because of these conditions. And then people look at you and see your success and want to emulate, but they don't understand what else you're doing and you don't fucking tell them.
Yeah,
that gets offensive to me. Like, you do what you got to do, but when we're not open and honest with people, you get in that problem.
Right. This sport's incredible. Like, I mean, every year you see it happen every year at regionals. They announce the regional events and everybody's like, throws a fit. They're like, this is way too much. I mean, I can't believe they're doing this. All these reps, all these pull-ups. And what happens every year? Everybody crushes it. Everybody steps their game up and adapts. And the same with the games. The games get heavier and more each and every year, and everyone crushes it.
Yeah, if you'd have told me like 3 or 4 years ago, hey, they're going to do 100 chest bar pull-ups.
And
for the ladies too, I'd been
like, it's not because everyone in the sport's on drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And 300 other reps.
There are a lot of people that may be on drugs, but I know for a fact that not everyone is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I mean, I know for a fact that there's people who are a handful of the best in the world that aren't on drugs. I mean, that doesn't mean that some people are, but
yeah,
I mean, it is possible. You know, you don't have to have drugs to get to that point.
Yeah. I mean, we're still,
that's been proven.
We're still adapting naturally and growing with the sport. It's pretty awesome.
Okay. So who's on drugs?
Your BCAAs don't sound very natural.
I'm on caffeine right now.
I think we should ban those. We should ban BCAAs, creatine.
I mean, I can see where people would get to that line. I mean, it's in our nature to always want more, to always want more progress. We can never get enough. We want to be stronger. We want to be faster. So like, sure, it makes perfect sense why anyone would want to use, but you know, just
go
don't.
on your slippery slope.
Are you ever tempted? Are you like, oh man, maybe I should.
I mean, yeah, there's been thoughts where I've been like, oh man, I mean, what would be the next level of my recovery? Like, what would be the next step? I mean, I still go back and I'll write diet logs down because I'm always trying to find extra edges to put on my training, just trying to help and grow. And of course it comes to my mind, but first of all, I wouldn't even know where to start. Like, do I go back to the guy in high school he's buy weed from? I don't know. Like,
hey, bro. Hey,
yeah, like, I need to get drugs.
What you need, man? I don't need any of that, but what else you got? Like, no.
Little advice. Don't go to that guy.
I picture you just on your couch, conflicted, with a little red version of yourself with devil horns on one shoulder and a little angel. No,
Mike doesn't have a devil self. He only has an angel self.
Everybody's got a devil self, the devil inside.
Everything's working without, so I'm perfectly content.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Still making progress.
But we're watching.
I mean, you say, is it tempting? Of course it's tempting. I mean, everyone considers, like, what would be the next level of recovering? Maybe I'm speaking for myself. Maybe you can chime in, Michelle. But, I mean, do you ever wonder, like, yeah, what would be
save
the next?
Save me, Michelle. Jump in here, please.
That.
I'm trying to
save him.
I'm trying to tag out this discussion.
I mean, I'm constantly wanting to improve. That's the point of the sport. You always want to be better. You want more.
Yeah, I'm just constantly worried about it getting too rampant because it's not something that I see myself doing, and I don't want to ever have that feeling where I have to do this to stay in the game. So that's kind of the more disturbing part of it, mm-hmm. because of just the long term. I mean, I know competing at this level isn't the greatest thing for longevity, but adding
that's
to
not
it
any better.
Yeah. Oh, I mean,
yeah,
it would
adding
be.
To that would be really, like, I don't want to set myself up to be like thrash the rest of my life. And so we don't know how long an athlete, you know, kind of lives in the sport, so
it's still an experiment.
I don't even know what the drugs would do, but I don't I know I couldn't cope with the feeling of losing it, like when I came off of all that stuff. I would spiral down hard.
I think that's the truth, man.
Like, yeah. I would have to quit the sport because if I'm not competitive anymore, like, I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
It's probably most
same.
Like most, you know, bad things
drive
in life,
me insane.
You get a taste for it and you go, well, this is really good, but you know what, I'm okay. Like, it's an illusion. Then you try to stop, and that's when you realize the hook is in.
I don't see myself just being like, oh yeah, you know, I'll stop using and I'll back off, and, you know, I'll just play for a while. I'll just mm-hmm. play. No,
totally in control.
Happen.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'll do it tomorrow.
I feel like the more people that do it, the more people that know other people are doing it, the more they're going to want to do it themselves. Like if you were fourth in your region one year, and now you're not going to the games, that'd be rough to swallow. If you knew for a fact that those other three people were on the shit and you weren't,
right,
and they
yeah.
beat you, the next year it'd be like, fuck, like what do I do this year? I know I can't compete with that.
Right.
Do I just stop or do I go the next step?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, that's the exact situation that I fear. Like, I don't want to be in that position where I don't know how I would know for a fact that people are on something, but to feel like that was the case, like, I don't know what my decision would be. Like, it'd be really hard to hang up, mm-hmm. you know, hang up the nanos, but at the same time,
never hang up the nanos.
At the same time, I'm training for games and, you know, regionals is that stepping stone. And if I don't go to games, I don't know how fired up I will be year after year, not going to games. I just,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like what you said earlier. It's like you don't want to have to feel like you need to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That would be I could see that as a huge fear. It's like if you've been to the top,
yeah,
and then for there to be a point where, like, oh, if I want to stay going to the games, well, now I have to do this thing I really don't want to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't think anyone's going to know what they would do in that situation until it's actually there. Everyone that's outside judging, like, the people that end up making that decision mm-hmm. probably don't have the perspective that person had in the moment in that situation.
Yeah. I feel like the best thing I can do now is just be, you know, an advocate for the most stringent testing policies, period. And that, the random drug test. I mean, I guess there's still ways around that. I have no clue what they are, but at the same time, like, you know, random drug tests, awesome. Yeah.
That's what that article was saying. It was like, oh yeah, so what? They're drug testing people year round. He said in it, quote, word for word, he was like, you have to be an idiot to fail the drug test. And I was like, really?
I'd be scared. Like,
well, people who know how to.
Is he trying to get business?
I was scared. I was scared taking the drug test.
I'll tell you how to pass.
I was scared taking the drug test at regionals, and I'm 100% clean. I was just nervous that something was going to happen. I was like, I don't know. Maybe I had a cup of coffee. Is like that bad?
Maybe I shouldn't say this, but all you have to do is get on the internet just for a little bit, jump on a couple forums. Yeah. And there's, like, all these protocols for working around that stuff. I
asterisks,
mean, it's not
asterisks,
the topic of
we
the
don't recommend you do
podcast
anything.
Just changed.
I don't recommend that. But at the same time, like, as somebody who's been into fitness and strength sports for years and years and years, that's something that, you know, yeah, I'm just aware
not,
of.
It's not a new
this
formula.
Guy. This guy knew the drugs really well. Like, it was a pretty deep article.
Yeah, there's some drugs that are in and out real quick, and some drugs will hang out for a long time. And if you time it the right time of year,
that. And some things that they don't even test. So
and people who are going for fucking gold medals right now in the Olympics certainly know that. I mean, just because the drug policy is there doesn't mean you're not going to struggle. It's going to be, but there has to be that trade-off. Somebody's always going to beat it, man, but you can't just do nothing. I mean, come on, let's be practical.
And if you spend enough money, you can get stuff that, is non-detectable. So
genetic engineering, you know, that's a new frontier. How about this, Mike? I've been talking about this in my fevered mind. There's quickly coming a day where Mike might be presented with another kind of option. Maybe it's in a couple of years. If you got the cash, spare $100,000 to throw at yourself in a massive experiment, like Dave Asprey-style experiment. But how about you could identify individual genes and it's upregulated or downregulated depending on what you wanted your body to adapt to, what capabilities you needed it to have. That is the new frontier. That's going to fucking happen. If I give you that option, what do you think?
Can you dumb that down a little bit?
I can look at your genes and be like, I know I can offer you the ability to recover 10% faster by giving you a pill because I can upregulate the ability of your body to recover.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a...
It's not steroids, man. Don't get nervous. This is not fucking steroids.
I'm saying I understand it's such a gray area because it's like probably 5 years ago, wasn't creatine a banned substance?
I don't know.
At one point.
It was controversial.
It was controversial. Yeah.
A long time ago, but only amongst
idiot
journalists.
But I'm saying like what is considered a banned substance? I'm going to follow the rules and I'm only going to do what's accessible to everyone else. Mm-hmm. As long as everyone else can do it, I'm going to do it too.
Yeah, I see it as a rules thing.
Yeah.
I mean, if testosterone is legal, then everyone should just do it.
That's so much of an emerging issue that I've heard conversation that there should be transhuman divisions of competitions where
transhumans.
We know you're not normal human anymore, and you can compete there. That's the real thing. People can.
I want to see that.
Anything goes division.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, right. where do you draw the line at? At what point do you say, you know what? That's fucking take whatever you want and over there take. Everything.
It works for bodybuilding. They have the natural division and then they have the freak show.
No one questions the fact that this is so...
Have you been to a natural show?
No, but
it's like being to a strip club. You get to smell the steak.
Well, I had a buddy of mine that did it and I went and watched him compete and there was like three people. He was natural. But this is my judgment on it. I don't know the sport that well. He was apparently, he was natural. The other two dudes... were there, and I think they were fighting over the money, basically. Mm-hmm. These guys were huge in the same division as him, but there was three people competing. I think there were less people in the crowd.
High school auditorium.
Yeah, like it was just...
Well, once you have a pro and natural division, no one wants to watch the natural division anymore.
If you do that, the other one's dead, was my point.
Right.
If you have the big juiced up, whatever goes...
Yeah. I mean, that's where all the money's going to go.
No one's going to watch the other one.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's honest.
It is Lucas honest. Also talked about in that article, in that thing he wrote a little bit.
Where can we find this article, by the way?
It's on Facebook. I'll see if I can like post a link somehow.
On the Google.
Yeah, I hadn't read this yet. Who wrote it? What's it called?
Lucas
Parker.
Well,
there's two articles
I'm
talking about.
Lucas Parker's the one
that wrote it. Lucas Parker wrote the rant about why we need to keep the sport clean.
Okay.
And then the other guy, I don't remember his name exactly. You guys have probably heard of him. But it's an article online that was posted. I'll try and find it too.
Okay.
Sorry, I don't have my sources.
If you search CrossFit and steroids, you'll probably find it near the top of the news feed or whatever now.
Yeah. Lucas was bringing up, he's like, that's how a lot of the sports developed. And he may be wrong on this, but like track and field, you know, like they did it as natural as they could for a while. Everyone got kind of plateaued. Then they started adding drugs in and it got awesome, you know, and then now everyone uses drugs. So
isn't that what maybe Lewis said this, I'm not sure, but someone was asking about putting powerlifting in the Olympics, but then it'd be like super heavily regulated and there'd be more drug testing. And then it'd be like, well, the best squat outside of the Olympics is fucking 1250.
Yeah.
The best squat in the Olympics is 900.
Yeah.
Nobody would care.
I mean, look, when I was competing myself, I was so naive at the time. I thought I could keep up, but I would lift in a meet where a guy would squat 1150, 1180.
Yeah.
That's how crazy I was getting. And I was as fat as I could get, as bloated as I could get, as strong as I could get without the use of drugs. And I got to like 975 and I just couldn't go any further. I mean, it's like I saw guys basically built the way I was built, but something was added to it. And it was 200 to 300 pounds, man. It's like, that's
you,
what
you had
you
a choice.
Get.
You could either try and keep up or you could just recreationally stay in it.
I was in a car ride
it.
One time with a bunch of powerlifters when they were talking about what they were taking. Like, yeah, my fucking elbows are so beat up. This is a powerlifting voice. My goddamn elbows are so beat up, man.
Texas
feel like sandpaper. Oh, you can up your deck, man. That was the whole fucking conversation. They go, what do you take, man? I go, nothing. And it was like I farted in church. Like, no one said a fucking thing for like a minute. I go,
cool. They're like, yeah, me too.
And one guy just peeks out from the back. He goes, why? That's all he said. I go, well, I kind of feel like, to your point, I kind of feel like I want to know what works in training. And if I just took shit, I would have no idea. I would just be doing...
Yeah,
you know, crazy shit like you guys sort of do in your training. But you wouldn't know the difference.
But it's not like the people I'm around in the sport. Like nobody ever talks about it. I don't know anyone personally who uses like. Whereas you were just having an open, casual conversation.
Yeah, because it's not a
sport is not there yet for us.
But I mean that's a sport where they're almost announcing, "Hey, we don't test." Yeah, whereas in CrossFit, they're at least making the attempt to. Like, in powerlifting, no one thinks that anyone's
natural. It might be different in parts of the nation. Like, I don't know what the community's like, but it's just not like that around me.
The problem is CrossFit is so new. I mean, no one understands how this is going to shake out completely, and no one can really control it. And I think at some point you got to say, it's okay. If we keep our focus on what's good and just evolve as we know we should, it'll get to a good point. I mean, you can't just rush through this and say, I'm going to put down some drastic measures to stop it. It's not going to be that easy. Mm-hmm. There's 300 grand on the line. You're not going to stop it now. You got to slowly navigate this fucking thing.
Yeah.
It's unfolding.
CTP here. I'm the most generic athlete on the planet. We need to do a test. You need to do a test where I take steroids for X amount of time and show these people that I still probably won't beat half of people in the open.
Should we start a fundraiser?
Sounds like a good experiment.
Oh yeah.
Like seriously, I'll do that experiment.
The open starts in a month, so we got to start you like today.
Oh damn.
Well, we could do it.
Well, I can do the open workouts later and just judge myself against the scores.
I know a gym in town where you could probably get something.
I think we're all forgetting the main point here, that they're illegal.
So we're not doing it.
Look, the government is just trying to protect you from yourself, okay? If you shut the fuck up and not do those things we're saying not do,
it's against the law.
Your 401k will be there. You'll be just fine. There'll be no risk in your fucking boring life. Just sit there and shut the fuck up.
All right, with that, I think we're gonna wrap it up here. Hope you enjoyed the discussion. Found it enlightening.
Something.
McGoldrick's tainting the desk.
Steroids! Look!
Get that steroids out of here.
Magic powder.
Why are you walking around with pills in your pocket?
At one point, this probably was steroids. Fish oil, vitamin D.
Oh, that vitamin D, man. Those are hormones, man.
Oh, man.
All right.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us. This was a
blast. Love having you on.
This was titillating.
Love to do this again.
Controversial.
Again.
Always. Yep.
See y'all next time.
All right. Peace.